No, I don't want to rule the world. I just want to fix it. Is that too much to ask? Restore a little bit of sanity to this world? Hey, Brad Friedman here. And we're with you for the next half hour. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. As some of you may know me, I am your friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, and muckraker from bradblog.com, drafted into duty once again here to be the broadcast media at KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM in North San Diego, and 99.5 FM China Lake, and of course, coast to coast and around the globe on KPFK.org. Glad you could join us today. As I say, we will be here from here on out, as far as I know, at 3:30 Pacific time on Wednesdays. And again, we're covering breaking news, I'm sorry to say, out of Japan, as we keep an eye particularly on the Fukushima Daiichi power plant. We're going to be going momentarily to Steve Herman, VOA News' Northeast Asian Bureau Chief, who is in Tokyo to get what is the absolute latest as the sun now rises on, what day is it now? Thursday in Japan, 12 days since the record 9.0 Tohoku earthquake and subsequent tsunami. And by the way, there are new estimates out today that put the peak of the wave of that tsunami at some 77 feet high, if you can imagine. The latest estimates of the dead and missing are now topping 25,000 in Japan. And just to give you an idea of the size of that number, Japan has about 126.5 million people. The U.S. has a population of about 313 million people. So the equivalent here in the U.S. of dead and missing from such an event would be if 62,000 Americans died in a single moment, in a single event. I can't even imagine how we would have to declare war on earthquakes or bomb tsunamis or something to handle that disaster in this country. So more than 25,000 now missing. I have been at bradblog.com keeping my eyes on the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant and its six reactors since March 11th, and the situation, while it looked to be getting a little bit better over the last couple of days, and by better, I suppose I mean beginning to stabilize, power being restored to all six of the reactors in the plant. However, the power back at those reactors does not mean that the cooling systems or the pumps are yet working, other than in two of the reactors, 5 and 6, both of which were offline when the earthquake and tsunami hit. Although they did get very warm, very hot over the last week or two, so it is good at least that those two units are now under control. The other four, that's a different story. We're going to get information from Desi Doyen momentarily on that before we talk to Steve Herman. Also, some disturbing news about radiation levels in the tap water in Tokyo. We'll get the latest information on that as well. Over at bradblog.com now, I've got some links to some of the first photographs coming out of what they're calling the Fukushima 50, the 50 workers who were left behind last week after evacuations became necessary at the Fukushima plant. Frankly, they're heartbreaking photographs. They came out, AP published them, as did the Daily Mail. You can go over to bradblog.com and see some of those photos and links to more. One of the quotes in the Daily Mail today was, despite sweltering heat from the damaged reactors, the Fukushima 50 worked in protective body suits to protect their skin from the poisonous radioactive particles that fill the air around them. But as more radiation seeps into the atmosphere minute by minute, they know this job will be their last. A very disturbing, heartbreaking, devastating even report. You'll want to get a look at some of those photos and get a sense of some of the, frankly, heroes who have been serving around the clock now at this plant trying to keep these reactors under control. I can't even imagine the hell that these people are still staring into at this hour. Before we get to Steve Herman in Tokyo, I want to touch base here with Desi Doyen on some of the latest to bring us up to date on the news out of Japan, specifically the reactor at Fukushima. Hey, Des, how are you?
Oh, doing okay. It's pretty serious stuff here.
It is indeed.
The most recent report from the International Atomic Energy Agency says that at the stricken Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant, workers were temporarily evacuated, as you mentioned, Wednesday local time, that's Tuesday night, U.S. time. Black smoke was seen rising from Reactor Unit 3. Japanese authorities say the smoke has decreased and workers have returned. The emergency cooling operations have resumed. Workers are using a concrete pump truck to deliver high volumes of water into the Unit 4 spent fuel pool, where there are concerns of inadequate water coverage over the fuel assemblies.
And that's that water truck has this huge long arm that reaches up and into the Unit 4 in order, it usually pumps concrete. They've now rigged it to pump water into those water cooling pools, although they may need to be using that later to pump concrete onto the Unit 4. That's news over the last couple of days,
right,
that workers are being trained.
Well, that the officials at TEPCO, that's the Tokyo Electric Power Company, are reportedly training Fukushima plant workers on the process of permanently encasing that nuclear facility in cement. That's the Chernobyl option. It was what was used to shut down the Chernobyl nuclear reactor. But they have
the
not
nuclear
made
nuclear option,
yes,
as they say.
So to speak.
Yeah.
Now, as you mentioned, power has been partially restored to reactors 1, 2, 3, and 4. The lights are now on in the main control room of reactor number 3. Units 5 and 6 have fully restored power, and the IAEA says have achieved a safe cold shutdown status. Now, radiation has been found.
Only on those two reactors.
Only on 5 and 6.
Yeah.
And radiation has been detected in the seawater around the Fukushima plant at and also up to 60 kilometers away from the plant. And they've also detected radiation in the tap water at Tokyo's main water treatment plant. It's causing a shortage, a run on bottled water in the stores. The water is said to be contaminated with radioactive iodine at twice the level that would harm infants, so the government has told residents to not give tap water to infants and to not use tap water for powdered formula. Officials say the levels do not pose a risk to adults. Now, the announcement, you know, causes a run on bottled water, which is not surprised, and hoarding of bottled water has been reported. Japanese officials have expanded the list of food items to 11 that are now banned for sale from the four prefectures around the stricken nuclear power plant due to radiation contamination. They say the levels are very low, but long-term consumption could pose a cumulative health risk. Things like spinach, raw milk, broccoli, other leafy green vegetables.
And we keep hearing that the levels are lower than will harm human health. Nothing to worry about. You could only if you ate this spinach every single day, every single hour for the next year, would it become a hazard to your health? Do you accept that excuse?
I don't know. I am not a physicist. I'm not a nuclear health expert,
okay,
so I can't really assess that. And, of course, the Japanese people will have to do their best to eliminate the risk or minimize the risk to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, TEPCO, again, the owners of the power plant, will reimburse the affected farmers for their ruined crops. The USDA, the US FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, has banned the import of all fruit, vegetables, and milk products from those four prefectures in Japan, also due to the radiation risk. The EPA says that U.S. radiation monitors are now deployed in Hawaii, Alaska, and the West Coast, will undergo new testing to check for accuracy. The EPA did not elaborate on what triggered those additional tests.
They're just doing the new tests now to determine whether they're accurate?
Well, they deployed more radiation monitors,
uh-huh,
and again, they didn't say why they were retesting them, but they are. So let's perhaps just be glad that they are.
Okay. And this, of course, from the same government, by the way, that discovered at the San Onofre nuclear power plant, or was it Diablo? Actually, it was Diablo, I think, where the pumps, they just discovered the emergency cooling system,
yes,
had not been working for 18 months, and nobody knew about it?
The Union of Concerned Scientists put out a report recently that showed 14 near misses at U.S. nuclear power plants in the last 2 years alone, one of those being that apparently there was a known problem with the pumps at Diablo Canyon, and nothing was done about it.
For 18 months, they were not working. These plants that sit here in California on earthquake faults, So when I hear that the EPA is now deploying some new equipment, they're testing the previous equipment, for some reason I'm dubious. Go figure. What else you got for us, Des? Well,
that's pretty much it, unless you want to get into the new CBS poll that shows declining support in the United States for new nuclear power plants. It's now even lower than public support was right after the Three Mile Island accident in 1979.
Well, given some time, the nuclear industry will turn that around. I remember the numbers were low for offshore drilling during the BP disaster. And we all quickly forgot about that as well, didn't we? All right, thanks, Des, for the report. Appreciate that. Let me know if there's anything new breaking that we have to get on the air. In the meantime, we're going to turn now to Japan, to Tokyo, to Steve Herman, veteran AP and PBS reporter. He's now the Northeast Asia Bureau Chief and a correspondent for Voice of America's VOA News. He is usually based in Seoul, South Korea. I've been following his tweets for the last 12 days since this broke out. His reports on Twitter at W7, that's the number 7, W7VOA, have been invaluable, as have other reporters tweeting from the ground in Japan near Fukushima. He was in Fukushima, or at least near Fukushima, last week. He is now in Tokyo, and he joins us early Thursday morning from Tokyo. Yes. Hey, Steve, welcome to KPFK, sir.
Good Thursday morning to you, Brad, from Tokyo.
I don't even know where to start with you, Steve. This is just, the story does not stop. It changes every hour. Let me just to see if I can update. I don't know if you got to hear our update there.
Yep,
you may have newer news beyond that, but I know that there was reports earlier today that radiation at Unit 2 at Fukushima was the highest it's been since the original disaster. Have you heard anything more on that, Steve?
Yes, the radiation levels seem to be staying consistent on the plant site. There's also some concern, some revelations, although this is not being publicized very much by the domestic media here, that Tokyo Electric Power Company has confirmed that 13 times between March 13th and March 16th, they observed what are called neutron beams, but they say not at dangerous levels. This is a kind of array which, according to the physicists, would suggest that maybe, and I stress maybe, uranium and plutonium have leaked from the rods in either one or more of the reactors or the spent nuclear fuel pools and have undergone nuclear fission. And we know that the temperatures in the reactors have been quite high, that they do remain unstable, that two of the reactors have exceeded their maximum temperature. Of course, we know that most of these reactors will never be able to function properly again, and that the Fukushima plant, number one, will have to be permanently closed. And we've been hearing for days from Tokyo Electric that they're getting very close to restarting the automated cooling systems. But we've had a number of setbacks, as you mentioned, with the smoke rising, mm-hmm. and that has forced workers to temporarily evacuate the plant. And, you know, we've just been waiting day by day this week for some major breakthrough. And there have been little positive steps. But we're by no means out of the woods on this yet.
Steve, have you been able to confirm that the workers have indeed returned after last night's evacuation because of that black smoke?
It's about 7:45 in the morning here right now. We've had no confirmation that there's any renewed water spraying effort going on that we would assume would restart today. As I said, the radiation levels are high in the plant, but not significantly higher than they've been when since a week ago they've had this tandem a spraying operation going on. So we're waiting to get further information on that today, but this is pretty typical. We're not always clear on what is happening at the exact moment. But that being said, yesterday after we had the smoke observed rising from the number three reactor building, that Tokyo Electric Power within about an hour had released photographs of that, and we could clearly see the dark smoke. So sometimes we do get information very quickly. Other times it's very vague and takes a while to get a picture of what's going on. One of the problems, of course, is that there is this 30-kilometer exclusion zone around Fukushima 1. So the closest any of the media can get, and in the NHK, the quasi-official network, mm-hmm. does have helicopters that try to get within 30 kilometers and give us some long-range photographs. So this is a challenging story to cover, obviously.
I'll say, and to clarify for our U.S. audience, when Steve Herman there refers to Fukushima 1, there are two nuclear plants at Fukushima, the Fukushima Daiichi plant and the Fukushima Daiani plant, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. The Daiichi plant is often referred to out there, at least, as Fukushima 1. And I just want to keep that straight between the plant Fukushima 1, which is the Daiichi plant, and the actual right. reactors 1 through 6. Steve, you talk about the delays in getting information from both the government and from Tokyo Electric Power Company, TEPCO. And I've got some questions on that concerning the water in Tokyo. But before I get there, you mentioned these neutron beams, which I got to say, when I saw that today, boy, that's a scary sounding word. Neutron beams. 13 times they have been seen, but we have only heard about that as of today. How long have these neutron beams, whatever the hell they are, been going on?
Supposedly, according to TEPCO, that that was occurring between March 13th and March 16th. So yes, it's a number of days. A week later that we're finding out about it. And of course, and anytime you've got a story like this, and we always know that later on we're going to find out a lot more than we knew at the point.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I've been working on, and there's been a little bit of information about this, is that initially some of these radiation readings may have been significantly higher than have reported. I've had some sources telling me that there's also a reference to that today in a New York Times article quoting a Western nuclear industry official talking about that the levels in radioactive iodine that have been detected in the tap water here in Tokyo now are surprisingly high based on the radiation levels that have been reported. I'm not by any means saying that, you know, data is being covered up or anything like that, but all of us may have not done the best job as of yet in analyzing the data that's out there. And you know, we've been, I think, just in a reactive mode. And when I say we, I don't only mean the reporters here on the ground, but the experts around the world and the Japanese government just reacting to crisis after crisis. And so there hasn't been a lot of time or resources to sort of sit down and go back and do an overall assessment as to what happened when and how significant it is.
You're listening to Brad Friedman on KPFK. I'm speaking with VOA News' Steve Herman live from Tokyo. He's the Northeast Asian Asia Bureau Chief. He's now in Tokyo this morning updating us on the latest. When it comes to the government, and you reported, Steve, I know folks can see your report at VOANews.com. You reported last night that there was quote unquote panic after the government made this announcement about the tap water in Tokyo, the iodine levels being at least at dangerous levels for infants, and that there was runs on stores, bottled water at
right.
stores. Do those continue at this hour, or are the stores all sold out at this point?
Well, I'll have to go out this morning and see if they've been restocked. I know that some places that did restock, were again having a run, but have started to limit the number of liters or bottles that people can purchase. And it's not exactly panic; it's more a panic buying related to the purchases of bottled water. And I can tell you, within about an hour of that announcement going out yesterday afternoon, that people were really starting to stock up on bottled water, which is understandable, especially if you've got an infant at home or a pregnant mother, and you're really concerned about it. And one thing we should mention, though, is these levels, when we say over the legal limit in Japan, the limits are quite conservative in Japan for food and water contamination. I believe that for radioactive iodine in the water, compared to the international standard, that the Japanese standard is 10 times stricter. So, and most other countries, if they had this level of radioactive iodine in the water, they wouldn't be announcing that it was above the standards. And that's one thing to keep in context. And again, yes, these are significantly elevated levels of radiation in the food chain now and in the water. But are they at levels that are really going to harm people? Most of the scientists and the government officials are telling us no.
Well, you know, and I did note that the report about the last night, when they talked about the reports of the radiation in the tap water, that they had noted the high level, the unacceptable level, actually 24 hours earlier. And it took, it seems, 2 days for them to announce that to the public. I have to say, you know, the government keeps saying that the radiation levels, they're higher than normal, but you'd have to eat or drink this water or this milk or this spinach for a year before it became dangerous. At this point, call me cynical here in the U.S., but I wouldn't accept that description from the U.S. government. I wonder if you have any personal thoughts on whether there's any more reason to believe that from the Japanese government, or even more importantly, do the Japanese people, the folks in Tokyo, how do they view these reports from the Japanese government,
right,
and from TEPCO? Do they trust the words that everything is not great, but it's not really dangerous at this point?
I when I was up in Fukushima for an entire week, I was asking people about whether they believed they were getting all the information from the Japanese government on the radiation levels. Some people were quite skeptical and didn't believe it. Other people said they weren't getting enough information at all to be able to render an opinion. And there were some who said that they believed that the government was releasing the data that it had. I should mention that the current prime minister, Naoto Kan, is a bit of a break from the previous type of prime ministers that we've had in Japan. His background is very different. He, as health minister in 1996, was known for really revealing some critical information involving the blood supply in Japan that had been HIV tainted. And he forced bureaucrats to release documents exposing their own role and is allowing as many as 5,000 Japanese to contract HIV through contaminated blood products. And when he was also finance minister, mm-hmm, and he was very much for open government. So he's very much different in the mold, and also coming from the what had traditionally been the opposition, the Democratic Party, which is now in power in Japan. So I think based on his track record, we would expect more transparency from Naoto Kan than we would have with some of the traditional Japanese prime ministers.
And yet he hasn't come out and spoken all that much. His chief government spokesman, Yukio Edano has, or Adano has, yeah.
Right.
And his press conferences have been very interesting, carried live on NHK World each night. I've been watching them with bated breath at 2 a.m. in the morning. Is there a difference? I just have another minute or so here, Steve Herman. Is there a difference in the sense that you're getting the reaction? You said you spoke to people near Fukushima. Is there a difference in the way the folks near Fukushima are regarding the government information at this point versus the folks in Tokyo where you are now?
Well, obviously, the people in Fukushima have a lot more at stake, and I think there's much, much more anxiety, even among medical professionals, wondering if they are getting accurate information and wondering how long they should stay if there are more ominous signs. Tokyo's been a bit more removed from it, but obviously this radioactive iodine scare in the water is really striking home for people here in Tokyo.
I suspect it would be. Steve Herman, I really appreciate you waking up or at least spending time with me extra early here this morning on KPFK, and certainly your work at voanews.com and especially on the Twitters at W7, that's the number 7, W7VOA. Thanks, Steve. Stay safe out there. Are you doing okay, by the way? Are you concerned about...
I could just use a little more sleep, that's all.
I bet you could, and sorry I took away some of that this morning.
No worries. We got up at 5:30 because of an aftershock, so you didn't wake us up this morning.
Oh, yeah, there's that, too, isn't there? All right, brother. Stay safe. Really appreciate your work, and please stay in touch. I suspect we may be talking to you in the weeks ahead.
My pleasure, Brad.
All righty. That was Steve Herman. Check out his work at voanews.com. And like I say, I do recommend you follow him on the Twitters at W7VOA. You can follow us on the Twitters as well. I am the Brad Blog over there. And I've been, like I say, following this story round the clock, unfortunately, for the last 2 weeks. But now I seem to be on Japan time, staying up all night long here as it becomes daylight and as things seem to get worse at night out there at Fukushima. I'll be back with you here next week at this same time, 3:30 p.m. Pacific time on Wednesdays. Until then, you can find me at bradblog.com. I appreciate you tuning in. My thanks again to Steve Herman, also to Desi Doyen, our producer and news babe this afternoon, G, our engineer this afternoon, and of course to Alan Minsky. Boy, stay safe, people. John Wiener will be joining you momentarily with more on Japan and more from the U.S. angle. Until next week, I'm Brad Friedman. See you at bradblog.com.